Sorry, that was too harsh. You're not a dummy. You're smart. I called you a dummy,
well,
but you're
not
a dummy.
I didn't even hear that.
Well,
you could have not admitted that, and I would have never known.
Sticks and stones, bro. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. Welcome to Sticks and Stones. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're
the Gilmore guys.
You always sound kind of bummed when we say that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit sad.
I'm sad today.
I'm not doing so hot.
You're kind of the Eeyore of this podcast, if you think about it.
Does that make you Christopher Robin?
It makes me Christopher Robin. No, I can't. Oh, it's so bad. I phoned it in on Hook. No, I can't do it.
Oh,
it's so shitty. And everyone has a Christopher Walken.
We're off to a great start.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2015 is just a year of new beginnings and new journeys, never ending. Every day is a miracle come to life.
For some.
How's that going, that resolution we talked about last time?
Well, since we have talked last, I haven't done any writing.
Ah, me neither, dude. Yeah. Should we give up?
Okay,
let's give up.
2016.
To the future.
Some people had very interesting resolutions. My boy Adnan texted me.
Adnan?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while. I was supposed to meet up with him for New Year's.
Is that true?
He couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Yes. His resolution was to get out of jail.
Oh, no.
And come on the show. He says he's working on it. His exact text was, give me more time. So... can't be on the show today.
But
we have someone better.
We do have someone even better.
Yeah.
Sarah Koenig.
Sarah Koenig.
Wait, did she cancel?
Oh, you didn't? Oh, no, yeah, she canceled like 4 days ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
we don't
since Serial blew up, she's got like
a
TV deal.
Yeah.
She said she didn't want to do the podcast anymore. She's too big for it.
Wait, she has a voiceover deal? Like, she's going to be the new like Activia woman?
Yeah, dude.
What's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. Jamie Lee got fired because the people were like, Jamie Lee who? No one even sees your movies anymore.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Christopher Guest?
Not me.
Christopher Worst.
Look, I'm a huge fan of Jamie Lee Curtis, but I don't run the Activia.
But just think of Sarah Koenig, like, the thing about yogurt, it doesn't add up. If you eat it, it has to be just the right amount.
When I found yogurt, I was intrigued beyond my wildest beliefs. I think that yogurt is the most compelling food of our lifetime.
Now, Sarah, when you got the yogurt, did you think it was a good thing?
Anyway, this has been Yogurt Buddies. We do have a guest even better.
We do.
And we need to intro him right now, baby.
La la. First guest of 2015.
Why is he shaking his head at us? Yeah, it is the first guest of 2015. This is so exciting. You know him from this show. He's a previous guest on this show. You know him from the UCB. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Benjamin Seaman.
Hey, guys.
I always clap right into the mic in the most obnoxious way.
Oh,
hello.
The most obnoxious way. There could be more obnoxious ways to do it.
I'll find it.
Well, let's do it. 2015 resolution. Find a more obnoxious way to clap into the mic.
Next episode.
Let's do it. Ben, thank you so much for coming back.
I'm so excited.
Yeah?
I'm so excited to be back.
Can you hide it or you just can't?
I can't hide it.
Okay. All right. So let's give a little background to this because your first episode of the show, period.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Never seen it. Full. I'd seen like parts of it before, but not a full episode.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces.
But it was Christopher Returns.
Christopher Returns.
Which we've recorded.
Yeah.
For this very podcast.
Yeah. Where we didn't realize what he did.
Oh, yeah.
It
the
was
business. Although
a big episode in the canon. And I mm-hmm. can say now that he runs a software company, which I think they've only finally revealed in the future.
In season two, for Rory's coming out or whatever it was called. Rory's first ball.
Like her debutante ball or whatever.
Did they say more about it? Did they say said he did something?
He's like the guy in charge of firing people.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, that's what they say because...
Maybe he's doing software where you are.
They just... Yeah, but... he just didn't ever make a choice about it.
No, I think they saw that episode and that came out and they're like, oh, shit, we didn't... we cut out the part where he says what he does.
Business. So you watched that one episode.
I did.
And then guess what, guys? He kept on watching.
And we got hooked. I went back. I don't know. I needed stuff to watch on Netflix. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I watched the first, because that was episode 7.
The one you watched with us was episode 15 of 15, season 1.
Yeah. So, of course, I watched the first 14.
Of course, you went back. Yeah. You went back. You watched them all.
And then I've just been going. And now I'm a changed man.
You're a gilly now.
He's a gilly.
He's a full on gilly. And I love it.
So this is weird. It's weird to be back and have all this knowledge that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And
in a way, more knowledge than Demi. Because you're actually where you've been watching it. You're ahead of where we are in the show.
Oh, and Demi's never watched.
Oh, man. Right. He knows all the
He's
secrets.
Watching it for the first time. Very well, first time. I mean, I can't give away any spoilers.
So no
spoilers.
I'm literally only on the episode we're up to. I feel like if I watch any more, we'll get to that episode and I'll just be like, I forgot what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
My brain's not too hot.
Oh, I forgot about that aspect
of
it.
So no spoilers.
I can't talk no spoilers.
It's hell because I want to watch more than the episode that I'm on.
Because you'd have to watch it 2 times.
Yeah.
And well, I refuse. Not bad.
I will never, ever watch this show again. Can you imagine? I'm just like, I'm already begrudgingly in this.
Really? If there was an episode with like a really big cliffhanger, you're just going to be good and not watch it? You promise?
Yeah, he will. But you've been pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Because it's
what cliffhangers would the show have?
Oh, there's like, a few.
There's a couple of cliffies.
Yeah, there's
I just imagine like Rory
hangers.
Looks off screen and like she just makes this crazy face and then just like cut to black and it's like, what is she looking at?
She shot JR.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Episode discussion. Yeah, who shot? Well, I wish. Episode 211, Secrets and Loans. Is this a pun on anything?
I think it's a Secrets and Lies pun, right? But it's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, yeah. It was a bit of a stretch cutting out.
It was a 11th hour pun.
Well, let's get into this episode the way we get into every episode by opening with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
Where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a little super gut, play them back and see what we understand, what we don't. Why are you shaking your
head? I don't know. No, just
do you disapprove?
No, that's great. I'll start shaking up and down.
I'm starting to get dad vibes from you. JK. this is 211, Secrets and Loans, Pop Goes to Culture.
You will do nothing. You will sit in the corner and offer no opinions and pull a full on Clarence Thomas.
No, I think it's Energizer.
So it's like the baby Gap.
I was thinking about opening a Coyote Ugly lemonade stand.
Leave the pot, Ethel.
Oh. You played Tevye in the Stars Hollow Community Theater production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Very John Waters.
Somewhere in the world, it's still Miller time.
Monday Night Football.
Stop it.
Boys, a Nancy Drew mystery.
I mean, Nico obsessed, Exene wannabe with 40 Korean Bibles under her bed.
We'll watch Purple Rain.
Okay.
Hey, how about we get all dressed up tonight and hit the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
You got them to cheer to madness.
You think I sit around all day swapping witticisms with Robert Benchley at the Algonquin?
It was like a scene from Silkwood.
I'll think about it tomorrow at Tara.
And when you've got Jacko's loans and stuff, not wanting your business, you know it's time to hang out with the Coreys.
Slim Jims. Pay them back whenever I want.
That's right.
Because I'm Tony Soprano?
Only scarier.
I swear one of these days, Alice, pow, right to the moon.
What on earth are you talking about? Who's Alice?
We've got one of the big boys on our side now, huh? Shaq who?
That entire town hall presentation of...
Shaq who?
Yeah. Shaq who? That entire thing was a very funny moment, especially when the basketball players were shivering in the background.
It was...
That was a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was like going to be a little homoerotic or something, like that they were going to be wearing skimpy outfits or something.
Well, it was a weird... exchange of Taylor trying to convince all these high school boys to take their clothes off.
it was a little weird.
Yeah,
and Bootsy going like, "If I were up there, they would have been pants." Like,
back in my day, it would have been different. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that was a weird. He was so angry.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Shaq who?
It's almost like a foreign slang. Shaq who?
Shaq who?
If you think about it, no.
If you think
long and hard about it.
I love the Coyote Ugly lemonade stand.
Yeah, and it is interesting that Emily does not understand what the Honeymooners is.
It is. That is an interesting thing. I love that you kept the second part in, because that's what makes the joke, is that she's like, who's Alice? I don't get it. And she would.
I thought it was really adorable.
She would have to know about it,
she
right?
would. There's no like fathomable reason why she doesn't get that. Even if she didn't own a TV, she probably hung out with people who did.
And quoted... I mean, like, was that, like, a real quotable show when it was on?
Even if it isn't, that's, like, the most famous.
Pow to the
Moon. It's very famous, but she had a really rich upbringing, so maybe she was just riding horses all
maybe
the time.
They weren't allowed to watch TV shows where they joked about domestic abuse.
Maybe, in which case, kudos to Emily's parents, but also, come on.
Come on. Come on, a little bit's okay.
Watch some TV.
I mean, TV, not a little bit.
I was about to say.
No.
We here at Gilmore Guys have to publicly acknowledge that we do not condone domestic abuse in any way.
Hi, I'm Kevin Porter. You might know me from Gilmore Guys and little else. So the Netflix synopsis is Lorelai can't afford to repair her home's extensive termite damage, but becomes angry when Rory involves Emily, who again offers Lorelai a loan.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, that checks out, actually. Yeah. It's just a little more detail than it needs
to be. I will say, although it's portrayed in the show as extensive, doesn't feel that bad to me. Like, maybe the porch floorboards are the worst.
$15,000 of damage.
No, I mean,
is that real? Time. Are there any termite workers that listen to the show and can like verify that at all?
Are there any Orkin men out there?
Or Sorkin men? Oh, West Wing, right.
But I mean, like money wise, of course, that feels bad. But I'm saying, like, it didn't feel like the kind of damage that should cost that much. Like, I don't, I can't think of any termite. Like, it just seems unreasonable to me that that's actually how much it'll cost.
Also, the biggest flaw is that I think they'd have to tent the house and kill all the termites.
Yes.
Otherwise, the termites will continue to live
Breaking Bad style.
In the house.
She talks about how the tending will cost $2,000, and then it's like another $15,000, but it's still like, that seems unreasonable for a price to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, the economics are definitely in question. And that actually leads me to one of the first Twitter Q&As we got.
Twitter, Q&A.
Flawless jingle. this comes to us from Cassie, who also had a good one for 209. And she says, how does Lorelai not have $15,000 saved, nor the ability to successfully get a loan, when just three episodes ago, she and Suki were prepared to buy the Dragonfly Inn from Fran on the spot? What was she expecting to pay with? Pop-Tarts? Suki fronting all the money for the inn?
Wow.
It's a legit question.
That's a very true question. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, yeah, because they were ready to buy it off that old
bitty. From that old lady.
Yeah, from Fran, sweet little Fran.
What Never. Happened?
I don't know. Maybe it is Suki. Maybe Suki's a secret millionaire.
I mean, wasn't part of their conflict the fact that Suki was doing a lot of it, or?
No.
Or was it the other way
around? It was that Lorelai was doing all of it. But maybe Suki's just the money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't.
Doesn't add
That's
up.
That's a very good point.
Dollars
Doesn't
and cents, baby.
Add up.
Well, maybe it's different if it's like personal versus business. Because
still,
maybe.
How can she not get a loan?
Yeah.
All of a sudden. Hmm. And how was she surprised that like, oh, I can get a cosigner for this?
The whole central conflict of the episode, I think, is infuriating.
Of the money.
Let's just say it. Lorelai's being a real D-bag about it.
She very much is.
Like, just take the money.
Just take it.
Like, the worst, as we find, we're skipping all around, whatever. The worst, as we find out about it, is that Emily wants to have DAR meetings at the end.
That's...
Oh, shit. That's it. That's the clause.
Her mother is so supportive of her, and she's just like, I don't want to deal with this. Like,
we're all Team Emily. That's for sure. Yeah. You're Team Emily, right?
Yeah, all the way.
All the way.
All the way.
So, and this is the
first... That sounded sarcastic.
No, I definitely... okay. No, I love her. She's my favorite on the show. Yeah. I think she's my favorite character.
For sure. There is no... There's nothing behind it. There's just like... It's literally like a favor.
It's
and
pride.
Then the favor in return is also very minimal.
The favor, by the way, is the kind of thing that it's like, oh, you can do that for free. No, like that's not a $15,000 like that's fine.
Totally.
It's like if you were to be like, here, you can live in my house, but here's the thing. You got to TiVo this show for me every time it's on.
So we see Lorelai here, like, pretty much, I would say, for this show, the height of her petulance, especially. So the conversation happens, and then she freaks out on Rory when they get home.
That
was infuriating.
In the previous episode, I mentioned a moment that was, like, very, very true to a parent, or how I think a parent would react. Like I was saying, it seems like something like if I told Rory, hey, don't mention this, and she mentioned it, I'd probably be really mad. But when Lorelai does it, it feels out of character because it's so strong for a parent to do, and she doesn't feel like a parent.
Nah, she feels like a little kid.
So part of me was like, yeah, I believe that move, but I was also just like, I don't believe it from Lorelai, because I feel like Lorelai would have been like, dude, what the hell? And then just kind of...
Yeah, because it was literally like they were both 12 years old, sisters, and Rory told mom and dad about something Lorelai did.
Yeah.
And then mom and dad's response is to try to help Lorelai, and she's getting pissed at them for it.
Right.
It really, yeah, really bummed me out. Just all of her, and her exasperation, I just couldn't get on board with. I did not connect with Lorelai at all.
I think it's hard just because there's all these history that we're supposed to know that, like, all the reasons that she doesn't want to take money from her parents, or like, I mean, it's not really justified enough, right? Like, why? And we hear that they were really cold when she was pregnant, or like that her childhood was not that great. But then everything we see in the show is her parents being great to her pretty much all the time.
Right, yeah.
So basically, with little exception, I mean, there's a few pretty big manipulations, and especially in the future episodes of the season. But up to this point, yeah, it's been pretty smooth sailing. Right.
I just get upset watching it because I am like, I don't, like, just to see a parent be like, just write the check, I'll give you all the money, I'm not even going to write the amount in, just take it.
Yeah.
And then it's hard as a viewer to watch that and be like, I don't know if I can pay my rent at the end. I can pay my rent, but like.
my thing about it was,
pretty good, guys.
There was a point at which Emily didn't know how much it was, and she was just saying, just take the blank check.
Exactly.
And it was like,
great movie. Amazing.
I have some problems with them.
Oh, we'll talk about blank check buddies.
I will say right now that blank check, blank check ends with an 11-year-old boy kissing a 33-year-old woman, and we pretend like it's just
exactly
normal. That movie
it's
is
reverse
messed
Woody
up.
Allen masterpiece. Anyway, in that scene, I did love where she took Emily's pen, and Emily's like, you took my pen.
Yeah,
she just kept saying that. I want my pen back.
Fine, can I have my pen back?
She has like two speeds, and one of them, Emily, in terms of like vocal affectation, is like, I don't know how to describe it, like little girl, like fine, yeah, yes please, I promise. Like when they're outside the bank, actually, in this episode, and she goes, I promise, and it's just the best. It's so freaking funny.
You did a pretty good impression just a second ago. Yeah,
I've been working on this for a good 10 years, Ben.
I just imagine you going, Lorelai.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Lorelai doesn't have a nickname, you know?
Like Lori?
Yeah, or like Lore or something. I don't know. I was thinking about that before, how her name is sort of like a, it's not long, but it's the kind of thing that, and she's so casual that I would think everyone would be like, yo, we call her Lore, or we call her Lie, or something. I don't know.
That's true.
That's a good point.
It's a pretty fancy three-syllable name.
I can't imagine, I'm thinking about Luke calling her anything, and I'm just like, I don't imagine Luke having the time to be like, Lorelai, at the time. I don't know.
Damn it, Lorelai.
Exactly.
But, wow, is Luke here right now? That
Scott
amazing.
Patterson has been standing outside for 5 minutes.
I wish. Scott, we love you. Come on the show. Guys, if you want Scott Patterson on the show,
harass
tweet
him.
At SPatterson111.
Is that really his?
Let me double check.
Look,
I
you guys find it. We can't do everything for you. No.
It is. It's SPatterson111. Well, someone's already tweeted at him.
Oh, there are, what, were there 110?
You've got to get someone from the Gilmore Girls on this show.
We will. By the end of it, I think we will.
You should ask Matt Jones from the UCB. He's played like a party kid.
Yes, he was in the Deep Fried Korean Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Season 3.
Yeah, so wait until then. I bet he would do it.
Okay.
Matt Jones, we love you. Come on the show.
That was like his first like thing, too, I think.
Matt Jones from the sitcom Mom on CBS, also known as Badger from Breaking Bad.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Deep we gotta get him on for that
season
episode.
Three.
All right, we'll talk after the show. Because you you and him are best friends, right?
We're totally best friends.
Okay, cool.
He's wearing a shirt with them on it.
That's weird. You're wearing a shirt with
them. Well,
his...
we were at the mall. We were just like,
one thing led to another.
There's a sale.
And a friendship bracelet.
There's a sale on this shirt.
Friendship shirts.
On custom friendship shirt. I believe that. That checks out.
But what I was saying is that she leaves the blank check open, and I was going to, like, I imagine that there's a situation in which she goes, like, just tell me how much it is. And she says, $15,000. And Emily goes, like, oh, my, or something. But it goes by. I don't think Emily is ever truly aware of how much the money is until the loan.
Until the loan. But even then, you don't see her reaction to it.
She's ready to pay anything.
I was. What if it was like $2 million? She'd just be like, that's pocket change. Richard got that for singing Mozart out by a boombox.
And he kept it.
I wasn't ready with
the
clip.
Last app.
Yeah.
Well, try it again.
Try like, what again?
We'll cut this shit out. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Great moment.
Great callback to that episode I wasn't here for.
Pour one out.
You guys remember that episode?
Seen it, right?
I did see it.
The Bracebridge dinner?
Yes.
Classic ep.
This episode opens with Que Sera Sera as she's walking out of her
this
house.
This was weird. I don't know how much I was into this.
It was a weird... Oh, this. It's weird. We should note that this episode is directed by Nicole... it's directed by a big writer director
Nicole Hoffsliner. Yeah, something hard to pronounce.
She only directed this episode, and she's a big writer director of a lot of television episodes and movies like Please Give and
Enough Said.
Enough she did Said.
That? Oh shit!
She
wrote the Julia Louis Dreyfus.
She wrote and directed those movies.
Huh.
Parks and Rec. She was a director on. Oh my gosh!
And this was the only Gilmore Girls episode that she directed.
She was like, I hate Lorelai. I'm never doing this show again.
I can't believe I had to do that.
But I thought that was an interesting fact because that is a weird... I mean, she didn't write the beginning of the episode, but it is weird. It is weird to have that musical moment. Yeah. I agree.
Although, do they write the musical drops into this? They don't write them in the script, right? I'm sure.
We'll ask certain people when they come on the show.
Whoa.
little teaser.
I guess, but.
You guys are going to have someone that came. I know someone that wrote for the Gilmore Girls.
Do you?
Yeah.
How are you going to. How is this the first time we're hearing this?
Benjamin. But not like we're like Facebook and Twitter friends.
Sure, but still.
Who is Jordan Ardino. He wrote like in the later seasons.
Oh, was he a season seven? No, I'm kidding.
Maybe.
F that S, bro.
I feel like I've been indoctrinated into the hatred of season 7.
Well, when you get to season 7, you're going to have him on the show.
Well, Ben, you're in season 7 right now, right?
Oh, yeah, right now.
And
oh, my God, you're that far ahead?
No spoilies.
No spoilies.
How are you enjoying it?
It's okay, but it's
a drop, right?
It's a drop, but it only makes sense. I mean, it only makes sense.
Should we cover it? Is it even worth covering?
You gotta cover it, right?
We gotta talk. We gotta. I'm excited because
I'm not.
No, because I feel like sometimes I shit on the show and people are like, I wish Demi liked the show more. In season 7, I'm gonna shit on the show.
Yeah,
openly.
Just let the shit fly.
No holds barred. It's a Def Jam open season.
I mean, this is like getting way off track, but sure. Season 6, like, she was gonna maybe still write the last season, right? But then they got into price negotiations.
It was a botched negotiation.
Mm-hmm. So they were like, "No, we're gonna do it without you guys."
Yeah, as I understand, they wanted more money, not for salary, but they wanted more money to hire director producers, so they didn't have to be on the stage 24/7 and in the editing room and the writer's room 24/7 because it was just them two running it.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yes. That they wrote all those episodes. It's just bonkers.
Yeah. And, well, the saddest thing, too, is after they left, they had to hire all those people anyway.
Exactly.
So all the things they were asking for, they gave to the next team.
Exactly. It's so sad.
Man. It's a bummer. We'll get the scoop when Amy comes on. Amy, we love you. Come on.
Well,
the show.
I feel like it was like the same thing of when Community is one of my favorite shows. And it was the same thing of like when Dan Harmon wasn't in charge of Community that season. Sucked like it was terrible.
Gas leak season, isn't that what people call it? Gas leak season.
In the show, they call it the gas leak year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the
gas leak year. It was terrible, just because it wasn't his vision. You know, like it wasn't the creator is not there.
It is a small and interesting club of television auteurs that start the thing and it's their baby and then they leave it. Right. And it becomes a zombie version of itself. And Harmon is the only one that I know of, it, barring Larry David coming back for the finale of Seinfeld, that actually ever came back to run the show.
Yeah.
Because it would be like Sorkin, Paladinos, Larry David after season 7, right? And then Dan Harmon. Who else? Is that it?
There's so many. I feel like I'm like blanking on some, but...
There's definitely some, but you can always feel it.
Did it happen with Buffy? It. No.
Buffy, he just got really busy. He never left.
Okay. He got busy, and so it got weird.
Because it was Buffy, Angel, and Firefly all at the same time for one season.
Oh, my God.
It was that. But yeah, but he was always there, as far as I know. Joss, we love you.
Oh, yeah, Joss Whedon. Look, you got...
That'd be amazing.
I don't even know what you're doing right now. You probably aren't doing anything.
He's probably just making little art films in his bathhouse, right?
Who knows what Joss Whedon
does? I love his bathhouse art
It's Shakespeare, but it's black and white. Whoa, what a fresh take. Why is Jess not in the credits in this episode?
He isn't?
No.
He's not in it, the episode at all, right?
Mm-mm. But I didn't... No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, when I watched it last night, bro, Jess was not in the creds. I know because I always do a sound effect for every for every cast member that comes up, and his is and I didn't get.
How
to
do you
do
distinguish
it.
That from Dean's?
Dean's is more, which is totally because his is more sincere.
His is inquisitive and stupid.
Yeah, like a little
so nice
little dumb puppy. Aww. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's. Are you team? Your team Dean?
I'm way more team Dean than team Jess.
Okay.
I would have to concur, especially up to this point.
Yeah.
In terms
100
of,
times.
Okay.
I'm but so I understand.
Bored by Jess.
I understand boy. Jess because it's just like it's just about life, man. Like we make dumb decisions and we date dumb people and this is just about if I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, since no spoils,
who knows?
People make crazy decisions in life.
You know? I know. I will say
it's real
without giving. It's true, and I like him as an idea, and I like him as a catalyst for the reactions he brings on other people. But him as a person, and when you take him just like on his own merit,
yes, as a person, they kind of blew it. Whereas, like, it'd be cool if he was like, oh, he's this gritty guy. Like, he's the opposite of Dean. He's a bad decision. And then she makes it. But give us stuff that is like, oh, this is, you know, give us a little bit of sugar with her poison, right?
I feel like a parent every time I talk about Jess because I'm just like, he's a bad bug. He doesn't away
respect,
from Rory.
I do, too. I say he doesn't respect Laurel at
all. Exactly.
Which is true. That shit's true.
It's important.
But he's not even in this episode.
So we don't have to deal with it.
But it was a breath of fresh air that he wasn't there.
Did you guys like Paris's pre-Instagram slam? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
She said, are you one of those people that gets happy looking at a sunset? And it was like a proto-Instagram.
I liked the slam, but at the same time, I was like, what's wrong with a sunset? Like, why she actively was like, I don't like looking at sunsets. I was like, why? What? I don't know.
She called it.
Yeah, didn't she, though?
Wow.
She did.
I feel like sunset jokes are like a dime a dozen now.
Very much. It's, I think that after this episode, the creators of Instagram were like, you know what, Alexa? What if I could put a sunset somewhere? How would I do that?
Yeah, this episode directly inspired the creation.
Directly. Mm-hmm. That's canon now. Put it in the Wikipedia.
That's Nick Cannon now. She is beaming when she gets her scores back. Did you like that little dance where she's like, yep. There they were.
It was
right on the table.
Adorable, and I loved that Madeline and Louise were like not playing her game. But I also felt bad because there's some things where it's like you can tell what's going to happen, and I immediately was like, she's going to have a score. It's not going to be as good as Rory's. And then I thought it was going to be the kind of thing where she would know immediately, and then she'd be bummed out for the rest of the episode.
Oh, that'd be sad.
It would, but it was a fun like sort of. Like game, the fact
he's a
that
fun runner.
Yeah.
Do you think Rory was taking any pleasure in doing that and like stringing it out, or do you think she was just like, "No, I'm not going to tell you, dummy."
I think I'm wondering if she would have told her if Paris's scores were higher. You know, would she have given her? Was she trying to be like, "I don't want Paris to be upset about this"?
Oh yeah, maybe it was.
Or
kind.
Was she trying to be like?
I think she just wasn't going to play her game.
Yeah.
Yeah, foolish.
She was just like, I'm better than this. And if I don't tell her, it's going to drive her crazy. I think she made the most evil decision in a way, right?
The only winning move is not to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Because she left it all up to her imagination.
Oh, God. The way that she makes Madeline or Louise, Did we
both
even...
the same?
Yeah.
Do we know which is which? I don't.
I feel like we should have at the end of the phone call that I'm referring to, but
let me look it up right now.
One of them makes a phone call to Rory and pretends like, oh yeah, I'm just doing a piece for the paper.
And Paris's shoulder's in the frame the whole time she's on the phone.
Right.
Which you wouldn't see in the full screen version.
Oh,
it's only the widescreen now.
That explains.
Yeah.
I was like, this is pretty bad framing. Like, just move a little.
That's why.
Okay.
And in certain shots, you can see, when we talk about boom stuff, I actually don't think that's the widescreen, but you can see, like, lights in certain shots. Yeah.
Speaking of lights, the lighting anytime they're outside in this episode is so weird.
Is it? I didn't notice this.
Their face...
The darkness of it, or
the lightness of it? Kevin's scrubbing through the episode for all of you wondering what that weird sound clip was.
I don't want no scrubs, bro.
But no, it's such a weird, like, anytime they're outside, it just feels like a stage. Like, it feels like Narnia. I don't know. Their faces are just way too bright.
I guess I can see it.
No, okay, you have to look. This one that I immediately thought of was when they're outside talking to Kirk. In the very beginning when he's giving them the quote, it's just all, like, super bright on their faces, like, when they step off the porch. I don't know.
I think it's just the thing to notice. The white snow reflecting on them, right?
But it's the kind of thing that, like, I feel like in real life I would have been like, why is this town so bright? I don't know.
I'm so distracted by Hollywood in that whenever I watch this knowing that they filmed it here and it's snowing, I just think about... all the fake snow that they had to shovel everywhere. All the stuff they had to do to make it look like it was snowing.
We're looking at it right now. Like, it looks really... like, it's fake lighting, but it's, like, so apparent.
What a lot of people don't know is that a lot of the snow is just leftover cocaine from Scarface. So that's about half of it, because they just, you know, Al Pacino's a perfectionist, take after take.
I need the real stuff.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hoo-ha!
Hoo-ha, Star Hollow.
But
if Al Pacino was Luke, would that be better? We've talked about him being Max, kind of.
Honestly, I would 100%... I think if Al Pacino was Luke, and this was, like, his... first, like, it's the kind of thing where he blew up after this. I'd watch this and I would never be able to hate Luke.
Yeah.
Coffee. You and your coffee. You love it.
Scrambled eggs.
I made you a hoopah.
Well, let's talk.
Hoopah.
That's what it is. That's the equivalent.
Hoopah. Hoopah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
What are we talking about?
The scene where Lorelai, with all the boundary issues in the world, jumps into her daughter's bed and says, "It's Miller time somewhere. Let's leave. Let's get out of the house. Let's go to Suki's. Call Suki 40 times to wake." Maybe she was asleep. I don't know.
I don't think she was asleep, but
her,
still.
Her and Jackson were.
You can't assume. That's still
me,
so rude.
The choreography of it doesn't make, like, the whole dance of it. By the way, when Lorelai gets something in the fridge, it definitely does not close. She kind of tries to close it, but it still stays open.
There are a few moments where you could tell they were there's a moment where Lorelai, like, flips a pen and drops it, and then just keeps going with the scene.
Oh, I didn't notice that one.
I wish I could remember what was happening. She was sitting on the couch talking to Rory, who was walking away.
But I don't understand the emotional direction of this scene at all, because Suki's like, "Oh, let's play board games and watch
this
Purple Rain."
Exactly. This whole thing is just off. It doesn't make any sense.
It feels weird because Jackson's there.
He's there.
Wearing his pajamas with his boxer pictures on it, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But then why is he hiding? Why wouldn't he just leave? It's not like they're next door and it's going to take them 20 seconds to get there.
I don't know.
You could also just go home, Jackson. Go home, Roger.
Or he could have gone into the bedroom, or he could have. It's not. It's like they
or
knocked on the door and she opens. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, he was hiding before they got. Before they opened the door.
Yeah, like a surprise party. But the surprise is he's there and he doesn't even want to know.
And just she, and this moment doesn't work because she's not acting like she's hiding anything, or she's like not being a little bit like, you're like, oh, something's going on. Like, yeah. Instead, she's acting really normal, and then there's this noise, and then all of a sudden she's trying to pretend like something's wrong.
Also, the scene where they're trying to coax him out of the closet goes on for way too long.
Yeah, it confused the hell out. Yes, I actually did think that was true.
And the pajamas that he's wearing seem like they're very poorly photoshopped pictures.
Yeah.
And, like, it's definitely Jackson's face, like,
it's
on
clip
other clip art of, like,
you
wrestling
think?
Stuff.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can tell.
There's a point where he turns around
look
and
at,
it
yeah,
looks
when
like,
you turn around, yeah, it's
oh,
really
yeah.
bad.
It's crazy.
Whoops.
It's the worst Photoshop ever.
Wow.
There's also...
Ever?
Oh,
there's
my gosh.
There's never been ever anything worse than
since
that.
Since the invention of Photoshop, this is the one.
Good night.
There's a weird moment at... I took the time code down, 14 minutes and 24 seconds, where a cigarette burn pops up on the screen.
Really?
And I know that's not what it's actually called, Fight Club, blah, blah, blah. But, like, Rory is sitting there laughing at the Jackson pajamas, and, like, it's just... Why? They're not projecting this. That doesn't need to be there.
Is it actually a cigarette burn?
Or it's like some sort of dirt in the lens or something? I don't know, but it's literally a frame. I don't know why it's...
Wow, you guys are getting pretty intense
1420?
Now.
I just
noticed. Is it right
it.
Here? I don't see it. We're Wait. Watching the scene. Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I think that's just dirt.
But it's a single for, I don't know. It was just a weird thing that I noticed that I had to take down. But
it would be hilarious if the Netflix transfers had like subliminal images in them, like Fight Club, like you do see a guy's D like in one, and like any scene with Mrs. Kim or something. Does she still have sideburns in this show? Because in the last one she was in, well, not
this is probably the most visual episode of this podcast.
Yeah, because
yeah, everyone's gonna hate it now.
Yeah, guys, go to this time code and this time code. No. Oh, here's actually a challenge I do want to put out to the audience: is there's a scene where Mrs. Kim is like, "You have termites, leave," blah blah blah, and she. Oh.
No, sorry, I was just saying pause it. But
oh, well, and she, but the point I'm making is,
okay,
she says termites, leave, get out, and then at one point she starts hosing off the porch. And then she turns the hose on Rory, and my challenge to everyone out there is to Photoshop Mrs. Kim as a James Bond girl holding a gun in a 007 poster, because there is one frame of this. It's you'll know the scene I'm talking about that could definitely work as a James Bond. I mean, even her pose is kind of Bond girl-esque.
It really is. She's got the one leg out.
Yeah, it's
this,
great.
This scene really rang home. It brought bad memories back from when I had a roommate and I was dating a guy, and then and that guy, his apartment suddenly had a cockroach infestation. Oh. Like, it was disgusting. Like, it's just out of nowhere. And so I had been telling my roommate about it, and I was like, yeah, his cockroaches, it's disgusting. I never want to go over there. And then, like, I don't know, 2 weeks later, like, there was a cockroach in our apartment who I shared with my roommate. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you're carrying cockroaches from his apartment to this apartment.
That's
and
ridiculous.
She was mad at me, and she wanted me to pay for a pest control service. And
oh, my gosh.
And so I was like, so you're saying I went to his apartment, a cockroach like climbed
yeah,
on my
break
shoulder.
It down.
Like
we became buddies.
We became buddies. I drove home several miles and it climbed off. And like, so that made me just, when she was like, you have termites, you're going to bring termites to the store, I was like, there's other people that have thought this way before and it's real. Yeah. So it was a real slice of life scene for me.
What a strange, sad slice of life.
The weird thing that I thought about this episode is that it's winter. She really shouldn't be hosing off her deck because that thing's going to freeze into ice and she's going to kill everyone that walks out of the store.
Oh, no, you're right.
But also, like, what a rude thing to do, just to hose Rory. Like,
I know.
That was so
she's
mean.
She's got to think about her antiques, though. It's the way she brings food on the table.
It is.
It's true. Because they are wood. So that checks out.
Would.
You know what? Would. Mrs. Kim gets a free pass. Hoes before bros. That's what I say. And then the Robert. Oh, I mean, I know it's part of Pop Goes the Culture, but the Robert Benchley reference was. I could not figure it out.
Oh, I couldn't either.
Robert Benchley. Like, the line
that's
was like.
Algonquin.
Do you think, what, the what?
Something about Algonquin.
Yeah,
I don't
she
even
says,
know who that is.
Do you think I sit around all day swapping witticisms with Robert Benchley at the Algonquin? No. It's like, who would think that? I don't.
I think she just got caught up in the moment of yelling at Rory and had a stroke.
Oh, that's probably it.
That's how I justify every reference I don't get.
Okay, true.
They're always having strokes in this episode.
Different ones.
In different episodes.
Yeah, different strokes, you could say. Yeah.
Everybody's got a different kind of story.
How much did you guys love Dean when he throws a basketball at his girlfriend's head and says, think fast?
Yeah, and then he pretends like, why are you so mad? Like, why is that a weird thing?
Yeah, muscle up. Everything Dean said in this episode, I was not into.
And then later on, Rory kisses him. Like, they full-on make out. She's like, that was for the basketball thing. And I was like, "What? He threw a basketball at you. Don't
oh, yeah, and then his
him.
Line is like, oh, never think fast again.
Yeah.
Which I don't like. I like that message for girls. Don't think fast so I can kiss you.
Can you imagine? Like, I just imagine every time Dean sees her, he's going to throw a basketball. And he's like, huh, guess you missed again. Yeah.
Tungstown.
It's just got to prepare us for what might happen in the future. Dean's not so perfect, huh? Sometimes he throws footballs at, no, not basketballs at people.
Sometimes he throws, it's a basketball one day, it's a football the next. You never
sometimes
know
he throws
guy.
Emotional basketballs right into people's faces. We'll get into that in future eps. And then, okay, yeah, and right after that moment, Rory and Lane see each other. Yeah. Right, well, they saw each other at the school courtyard, mm-hmm. or whatever it's called. And then they see each other in the square, and there's that weird music cue for like 10 seconds, and then it just cuts out.
I feel like it should have been like...
Is this something that was set up better in the previous episode?
It was not okay.
Because I mean, I couldn't remember, and I
all
just,
of a sudden, she was on the cheerleading squad.
I was
squad.
Just like, she's on the cheerleading squad, and why does Rory hate it so much?
That was my... It was weird that she was on the cheerleading squad, but I had a huge problem with Rory just being like, oh, so this is who you are now. Like, why is that... It's not a problem.
Who she is now is an autonomous human being that doesn't run all of her decisions by Rory.
Yeah.
Is the idea,
and
I
it's
think.
Not, it's just, there's no setup. There's no payoff. It's not like Rory and Lane are talking about, like, oh, we'll never be like those cheerleaders.
Right.
Like, we'll never, like, just care about being popular, and then Lane joins it. It's just like, she joins it, and then
there's just this implicit idea. Yeah. In a way, it's like... it is like a prejudice against like the blonde cheerleader type. Not like they get picked on all the time, but even see now it's the culture shifting. Yeah,
right. It's a sort of thing of, this is a thing. It's kind of how there's, you know how there's currently a surgence of like white girl jokes, and it's people thinking like, oh, I mean, I'm making
pumpkin
fun of,
latte.
Right. It's, latte, oh, yeah. I'm making fun of a culture that is privileged. But it's like, but in the same way, you're still making fun of girls, so you're just kind of using that as like a Trojan horse to you being sexist about it. And I think that's what the
That's interesting. Yeah,
that's an entirely different thought, but I mean, I think that's sort of what this is. And the thing that, like, oh, but they're popular, so it's okay, but it's like, yeah, but you're still hating on them for doing something that really there's no problem to it.
Yeah.
I feel like something got cut out. Like, I feel like maybe there had to be some scene where it's... I don't know. Just because, like, they need to be set up better.
It seems like a weird thing for her to do. Like, I feel like if there was anything that Lane would do, it'd be like, oh, yeah, I started a club. And Roy's just like, oh, I didn't know that you did that.
I started an improv team in my high school.
Yeah, this is just... This one wasn't developed enough. And no. I would care... I mean, no spoilsies, but it's not like this is a big thing. Like, that... It's like...
Yeah, it doesn't...
It's not a big thing.
It doesn't pay off, really.
And I'm just like, Rory,
is she in the cheerleading squad for more?
I don't even remember. So.
That's what we're saying.
I think
like, it's not
I
like...
I think this is a one-off. Like, I don't think it's
I
ever
think
mentioned
she, No, I think she does continue to be in the...
In my head, she, like, quit at the end of the episode. I don't know.
Although... Let's reconcile with the fact that Mrs. Kim is still her mom. In what universe is Mrs. Kim cool with a cheerleader daughter?
That's a big flaw, because
right?
Short skirts.
Yeah.
That
acting
was,
sexual.
Twerking.
That was 100% one thing I was thinking about. But then I consider, like, is it the kind of thing where Mrs. Kim is like, it's an extracurricular. It's going to look good on your resume. You know?
Maybe, but they cut that part out. I think that would require exposition, explanation.
My very first thought was, how is Mrs. Kim okay with this at all? Like,
yeah, you're right. Well, I didn't even think about that.
Maybe it's a Clark Kent Superman thing, because Lane was not wearing her glasses when she was doing the cheering. And for some reason,
so you think that she puts on her glasses and she takes them off, and Mrs. Kim's just like,
where did my
looks
daughter
a lot,
go?
Yeah, where's
I don't
my daughter?
See all. Yeah, I think that checks out. I mean, I think the reverse of it is usually, oh, yeah, when you put glasses on, you should look a little more mature. But when she takes her glasses off, she looks 31 years old. She looks like a 31-year-old cheerleader at this high school. IMO, in my opinion.
I didn't think she looked
You didn't think
older.
She looked older?
I think she looked different, but I didn't think it was older. I don't know. I mean, she was 31, so that's not like out of the...
Was she older? I mean, you're joking, but she could have been much older, right?
Well, I'm saying, like, in real life.
She was 31 when this was happening.
She was around 31.
30, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. I thought you were exaggerating.
Nope.
Because I know, like, on 90210 and stuff, I know that happens all the time, but that's pretty old.
It's almost, I don't want to say unforgettable is not right. It's almost, like, unfair, you know? It's just kind of like... Why not just find someone who's of the age? I don't know. Not that I think they should, like, she did a great job, and I love her.
She was 28, so not quite 31.
Still pretty old, though.
Yeah, no spring chicken.
Pretty old to be playing a high school student at this point, right?
It's the kind of thing where they, it feels like they're pulling one over on us.
Well.
Hey, she was a lead puppeteer in a movie. We're just going through IMDb now. Me plus her. It's a short.
The IMDb cast.
You guys would have a lot to talk about.
Oh, she should be on the show.
We would love you.
Yeah, we need to reach out to her.
I bet she would do it.
There was a Hep Alien reunion recently, wasn't there?
There was, yeah.
Which is a band I don't know about yet, because that's season 6.
No, not yet. I don't know. If we could get Sebastian Bach on the show.
Oh, that would
right?
be amazing.
I don't even know who that is.
That'd be right.
I just feel like Roy should let Lane have this, because Lane has so little to do on this show until later.
She really does.
It's true. And I think it's weird and controlling of Roy to be like, so this is what you're doing, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, I kind of understand it, but at the same time, if you can't find your friend, don't freak out. Just be like, oh, probably busy.
Yeah.
And then when you find out what they're doing, you're like, oh my God, that's cool.
If you're truly, like you say, Rory, if you're truly talking Legos, then talk Legos.
Right.
But if you're not, don't.
Because, you know, Legos can be apart.
Yeah. But you know what? They always come back together because they fit.
That's, I mean, not always.
It's a life. Well, depends on if you melt them or something. Yeah. Did you guys like Emily's Tupac hologram joke?
When you said Emily's Tupac, my brain just got fried. I was like, Emily doesn't even know who Tupac is. Tupac. Emily has never heard of hip hop.
There is an Emily Jay-Z joke in season 6.
There is?
That's true.
Oh my God. It seems like season 5 and 6 are just going to be playgrounds.
Wet and wild. Yeah.
What are you referring to? What's the joke?
When she comes to
she
the
goes
bank.
She goes in the bank and Lorelai sees her and she goes,
you are not seriously sitting there.
No, it's a hologram. Lifelike, isn't it?
I thought that was a pretty good zinger.
Yeah, it was great.
Emily's got the best zingers.
Emily
is the zinger.
Yeah, well, she's a zinger machine.
I always think back to her first day at Chilton joke when Lorelai's wearing the Daisy Dukes and she says something about Dukes of Hazzard. It's a good one.
I think it's the thing where, you know, she's just as good at zinging as her daughter, and that's where she gets it.
That's what runs in the family.
Yeah, I think you see that too as the show goes on.
But not from the dad. The dad doesn't zing, but the mom sure zings.
He doesn't really. No,
he doesn't.
He's more dignified than Emily is. Yeah. Emily's more of a broad than she lets on. You know what I mean? Like, she's more of a dame.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Richard is still.
You He's definitely always, feel like it's the kind of thing where Richard came to town like on a parade float and saw a woman in the crowd. He's like, I must.
On a parade float?
He's in my mind, definitely Richard was how a it king. Happened.
The origin of their engagement story is really cute.
Is it really?
Yeah. Next season.
Yeah. There's some cute stuff between the two of them.
A lot of cute stuff.
There's such a cute...
And then
I can't
there's
get
some bumpy stuff, and then there's some cute
some
stuff.
Some bump stuff, some cute stuff.
Does that there's include bump. The part where he apparently hits a car? Which I can't, I don't want to know anymore.
We were
but
going
was,
over people's like favorite Richard Gilmore moments, and I just said, oh yeah, he ran into someone's car.
You don't know why, though.
Away.
You don't know
That's
why
true.
That
I don't
happened.
Know anything.
Could have been anything. Could have been a funny sea story where Richard doesn't get his brakes fixed for Gypsy, and because of that, he bumps
Emily
into somebody.
Cuts them in a disagreement.
It's a funny, no, Jess cuts him as a funny, funny prank, because he's so freaking funny. Sorry. That was aggressive.
He wasn't even in this episode. You need to let it go.
PTL.
I thought it was super funny, the troubadour playing Be True to Your School at the end.
Yeah, that's fun.
That was a, I don't know. It made
Oh, Troobies?
Yeah. It made me happy, but it also made me think, like, what's this dude doing at the pep rally? Just playing songs. Like, it seems like he's just far enough from the school that it's like, I'm legally allowed to be here, you know?
Oh, you think it's something weird like that? Like,
No. I mean, he always is, like, detached from everyone, but I'm just saying.
We don't know anything about
had,
the troubadours.
He had a school song prepared, but he wasn't at the school.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I always think he just like eavesdrops into whatever the conversation is that's being had,
and finds
and
a song,
sings the right
like,
song.
I think this would fit, be musical or whatever, because he does that a few times with Lorelai conversations too.
Oh yeah,
where it's like, yeah, that's a great.
I don't like the troubadour.
I don't either. I especially
you don't?
Don't.
No, I just really don't. I mean, I ended up liking a lot of things about the show. A lot. I mean, enough that I've binge watched it so much, but I hate that troubadour. And I hate any of the storylines that have to do with troubadours, too.
There's only, like, two.
There's like Bedore's. Two too many.
Yeah.
I especially don't like Grantley one of Phelps, the reasons I didn't like him is because of that whole subplot with Dave Gruber Allen.
Mm-hmm. Where that was, rivalry.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
And Dave Gruber's like, I work at a kink.
That's such a great line. But I don't know. I like the idea of a troubadour, though.
It's, I like the idea, but I don't like that guy. I think it was someone different. I like him better, maybe.
So mean. Wow.
I don't know. You like it? You like the troubadour?
I like him just because he reminds me of like baby Elvis Costello, I guess.
Okay, he does look like baby Elvis. Yeah. A little before bit. He lost the hair.
Oh.
Just one of those things.
Is he still
that,
have hair?
I thought he's bald now, isn't he?
Elvis?
Or is he like shaved head?
No, he's not shaved head. Are you thinking of Sting?
No, I'm 100% thinking of Elvis Costello. He's got
maybe
the hat.
He wears hats now. Maybe that's it. You know, it's like a Steven Van Zandt thing.
When I started to picture Elvis Costello now I'm wondering, am I thinking of Michael Stipe from R.E.M.? I don't think I am.
Oh, well, that guy's baldy. Milo Rambaldi.
That's him in the corner.
Someone tweeted at us, this is Andrew at True Andrew. 211, is this just a filler episode or does it contain lasting content with development?
It's a filler episode.
Yeah, it's filler? Totally a filler episode, 100%.
Yeah.
But is it like, how much more progress was made in the Bracebridge dinner compared to this episode?
Well, in the Bracebridge dinner, we get good Richard. We get, it's really mostly Richard and Emily. I think
we get good Emily in this.
It's
I guess some great Emily in this, man.
Bracebridge is a filler, but it's such a well-developed filler. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a good... It's not a... Calling it a bottle episode seems unfair because they go a lot of places. They just mostly are in the inn. But mm-hmm. It's a filler where they were like, we need a small episode that still reaches a lot of good points.
Yeah.
In this one, they were kind of like, we've got a plot, and it sucked. Like, it's like, oh, this is a sucky conflict. Here it is resolved, and there's not really any punches pulled, aside from the very weird punch of Lorelai yelling at Rory, which didn't feel...
Wait a minute. Is Luke in this episode?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a moment where he's on the steps talking about the loan with her.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's offering to help with the repairs.
And I know, the sweetest thing. He's like, no, I'll get it. You know, yeah, it's like a solid dude move.
Solid dude move. She offers to, and he says he'll do it with his guys and that she can pay it back when she can,
mm-hmm.
which is why wouldn't she take this offer? It's exactly what she wants, right? Getting it on her own terms.
Guys, Lorelai is just not.
Her pride gets in the way of, she's like,
so much.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is when she was in the banker's office, she's like, I literally cannot leave without getting a solution. And the solution is like, oh, have someone else sign for it. She's like, okay, I didn't know that was an option. That's the first thing I would have thought of. It's essentially saying, here's the money from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, why wouldn't she accept Luke's offer? That seems like the one she would have wanted. I don't know.
It was really disappointing to me.
It is disappointing. There's a very strange line mm-hmm. in this episode, and I didn't know how to feel about it.
Which part?
When she says to... So Rory says, you know what we have to do, right? And she goes, I know, but I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I sold you into white slavery.
I wrote that down, too.
I didn't know what to feel about that.
Well, yeah, I wrote that down, too.
I don't know how I feel about the specification of saying white slavery.
Would it have been better if she said slavery?
That's what I was thinking, and I don't know.
I think it would have. Because then it's just the concept of slavery, but white slavery is just
a little racial flair to it.
Like,
yeah.
Black slavery,
it's weird.
I concur.
Yeah, it made me think of like the Taken movies or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, like human trafficking?
Human trafficking.
But still, that's like, I mean, that's just general.
That's gnarly.
It's literally the specification, of saying slavery. White slavery.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was weirdly tone deaf of them. But it wasn't like I didn't dwell on it too much. I was like, wow, that's weird. And then she said a line about hating using the computer, and I focused on that instead.
Yeah, and that this was written by an old soul. We'll just say that.
It was definitely written on a typewriter.
Yeah, click, clack. There was a little bit of Michelle. There was a little bit of Michelle action in this episode.
The ping pong tweaking. What in like Taiwan?
What is that trick?
I'm sure it has something to do with pushing ping pong balls out of a vagina, as is the old gross trope.
Oh.
I know.
We cut to.
Smash cut to.
Michelle, it's just his reaction shot with like money in his hand.
I love these child.
I feel like he's getting more fun because he's getting more sassy and less hateful. Because like in two episodes ago, he literally said to Suki, I hate you. Like he literally said, I hate you.
Yeah.
But in this one, and also in Bracebridge, he's more like, I'm over it and I'm just being a bit of a sassy molassy about it, you know?
Yeah.
Not to use language or anything.
Yeah, you better watch yourself.
I'll check myself. I mean, guys, I think that's it. I don't know what else to cover.
It's not a good episode.
You don't think it's that good?
I don't think it was that good.
Were you bummed when
we assigned it to you?
No. I mean, no, I wasn't bummed. But then when I watched it again, I was like, oh, this isn't like, it's not, yeah, it's a filler episode.
I think there are no flares to it, but I wouldn't say it's a bad episode. I think it's like, I think it's just
good. All right. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it was bad. I mean, there's a sweet moment with the mom, and like, I guess it's just hard, yeah, because it's one of those things where I'm just like, I'm on Emily's side the whole episode.
It is hard to be watching it, and your protagonist is Lorelai, and she just makes poor decisions every step of the way.
We've been talking a lot about how Lorelai just kind of keeps making these weird fuck-up moves, and it's like not... It's sort of hard to deal with because we're supposed to be rooting for her, or at least seeing that she has these flaws and going, aw, I'm sorry, but it's like everything she's been doing lately has been like, don't do that.
Every little thing she does is not magic.
Tragic.
Every little thing she does is tragic. Off. Oh. Amazing. Well,
every little thing she does is tragic.
Every little thing she turns me off. Let's rate the episode. Let's go around the horn. You know how this works. You've done this before. This is so fun. I just love having, it's like having a family member back at the table.
I'm trying to remember. Do I have to go first? What am I doing? I'm ranking the episode.
A distant family member, I guess.
Did you say writing or ranking? I know how to rank.
We give a rating.
Yes, I know how to rank.
Well, we've changed it since you've been here. I should say that. And instead of out of 5-somethings, it's 10-somethings.
Yeah.
So you can have a little more nuance. Even though it's basically the same thing.
It's really the same.
So I liked it. I agree that it's not a standout. But there were enough moments in it to keep me going. Mostly just like enjoying Emily being totally right and not having to be conflicted about it. Like there was no part of me that was like, oh, I shouldn't root for Emily, but I am. I was like, no, this is just objectively what's right.
The loan scene was funny with the meeting because
Lorelai was such a jerk.
She was like, before we get started, my mom wants to mention, you could have just skipped that. Like that
was weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird moment, just writing wise too.
And then
like a power move.
When the banker is trying to be like nice and cordial, she's just like, no, shut up. It's about me.
Yeah.
And she should not have said, I want to get through this as if you didn't know me. Like when she's like, oh, I just want to do this as if it wasn't because of a favor. You would have been denied. You know that.
Yeah, she says that, and then she's like, please, 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 right. please, please, I'll do anything.
Because she's been to, like, four other banks. One, she made a joke about for the fifth one, right?
But, yeah.
She's gotten the same old sob story. Why does she think it's going to be any different?
I don't know.
Bum me out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10. Yeah, 7 out of 10 pins.
Pins or pens?
Emily's pens.
You took my pen. Yeah.
Fine. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 poorly photoshopped pajamas. because.
I have to think about what my thing's going to be.
Oh, is that going to be yours?
Yeah, how could it not be that thing?
I think it was a fine episode. I just think no punches were pulled, and I didn't really like how a lot of the conflicts played out. And also, you know what's weird? In this episode, I feel like Rory didn't have that much. You know?
To do?
With her, she had a conflict with her mother that kind of got glossed over as soon as the big tension moment happened. And
I don't like how Dean was breaking it down to her, too. Like, She's stubborn. You're stubborn. I know you guys. You remember that part?
I don't remember that, which is why
I'm trying to be nice, like a dumb puppy dog.
He is a dumb puppy dog. To his credit, he's trying. He's trying.
He is. In this season, he's had a lot of moments where he's trying to do nice things, and they come off as like, oh, you idiot.
True.
In like a lovable way, like you want to pet him and just be like, all right, go. Here, right along now. Go play with this orange thing tossed at me. But at the same time, I don't think the Rory-Lane conflict had any real bearing to it. And no. I think that Lane was fine and you should have just let her be. I feel like
don't freak out.
That was Lorelai rubbing off on Rory.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Concurs.
Six. 6 out of 10.
All right. Yes, I give it a 6 out of 10. Porch holes.
Winston Porchhole.
Which we didn't explain in the episode, but if you watched it, then it would make sense.
Yeah. She just steps through the porch.
Steps through a porch. Makes a big porch hole.
Interrupting K. Sarah Sarah.
After K. Sarah Sarah.
After Michael Sarah Sarah.
I jumped when that happened. That
did you true. Actually?
I don't know why, but like just the...
It's a jumpy show, bro. Yeah. Twists and turns.
It's scared.
At every point.
It's American Horror Story. No, it
porch.
Was American Horror Porch.
Well, that's I mean, you said why K. Sarah Sarah, and it was to illustrate that moment of like, here's this peaceful moment of joy and ease, and now it's disrupted by a porch hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think the Lane storyline was lame, which I know that's
lame, Kim.
But I think I felt like it was a writer's room thing where they were going to make it a bigger, like maybe that would have going to be like a bigger storyline. And they were like, oh, let's make this like a D storyline, but not explain
it. Do you think stuff got cut from it?
I think stuff got cut from it, maybe. Mm. It just didn't make sense. And then Lorelai was just she was being difficult the whole time. And Emily was right. So I give it a 6 out of 10 porch holes.
Fair enough.
5 more porch holes than in the episode.
Yeah. All right. We did it, guys. We crushed it.
We did it. We
2-10, 2-11.
Another successful episode.
I feel like we accomplished a lot because we just recorded 3 in one day.
Wow, it's a long day.
Oh, hold
for
on,
you guys.
I'm getting a text. Oh, it's from Adnan.
What is he saying?
He can make the next one.
Yay!
You heard it here first. 2-12. Adnan is going to be there, I will chop my arm off.
You keep promising to do that.
Well, now I'm not going to have to because he'll be there.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye. Yeah. Just kidding. That would be so abrupt.
Well, bye.
TTYL. Benjamin, is there anything you want to plug? Thank you so much for coming back and being a repeat.
Thanks for having me back. I wish I had been able to be more effusive about the change that this has made in my life and how...
What change is it? What other changes has it made in your life?
Colors are brighter.
Colors are brighter.
Water tastes better.
Water tastes better. Music is like actually dancing in my ears for the first time.
Oh, he's a foot taller.
Just I'm on Twitter at BenjaminJS. That's all for now.
At BenjaminJS. On Instagram as well.
You could follow me on Instagram, but like, there's nothing great going on there.
You see some photographs of things.
Yeah, Nickelback style. Look at this photograph.
Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Do you use Instagram to like get followers and want people to follow you on Instagram? I guess?
For the show?
Maybe for the show, I guess, because you take pictures of everybody.
We do, yeah. Well, I post them to my account, and you post them as well.
That I do.
And usually the guests too. Depending.
Because I just don't understand people that use Instagram for like... I just have like a
for branding stuff,
for
you mean?
For just like getting a bunch of followers.
Well, the conflict right now is... hopefully this will be resolved by the time it comes out. But we don't currently have control of the Instagram account that's at Gilmore Guys.
Whoa.
So we're working it out with the person that... does have control. Yeah. We're exchanging messages, but
it's not a malicious thing, and it's not.
No,
like
we're not mad at this person. We're just like, oh, we just want to control it, just so we have like taps on everything.
Right.
You have to tell me more about this.
I know it is interesting, but yeah, it's
fine. Some inside baseball talk.
Whoever that person is, we love you. Give us the password.
Yeah.
You can follow me, obviously at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter. Instagram.
But for real, I'm at Electro Lemon.
Electro
Lemon.
And you can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. We're facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show on Facebook. We have a website, and I don't know how to make it so it'll show up on Google.
The Tumblr?
It's GilmoreGuysShow.com.
Oh.
There actually is a website. And it's just like a little front page that directs you to all those other places.
I didn't know we
but
had that.
I don't know why it doesn't. When you type in Gilmore Guys, it doesn't come up on Google. So it's infuriating. Someone
I'm sure
on Twitter.
Some, like robots.txt thing or.
Someone on Twitter was really mad about it though.
Really?
I was like, oh, we do have a website. And they said it doesn't show up on Google. I was like, oh, sorry. So anyway, follow us there. And I guess that's it. Is there anything else we want to plug? Oh, watch our supercut if you want to. I don't know.
I'm going to be on an episode of Cops next week. I don't want to talk about it. Legally, I cannot.
Yeah, because you haven't filmed it yet.
Because we have not filmed
You're going to do something that will get you an episode
of Cops.
I'm about
to break into a sit and sleep.
Or you could break into a...
Nice chicken.
Filet.
I could do that. I don't have a clip to play. Let's just sing.
Come on. Okay.
Shackle.
We'll see you next time, guys. We'll stop messing around. We'll start singing them out.
On the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Take it, Ben.
All you have to do is call my name, and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo, where you lead,
I will follow. Anywhere.
Where did Ben go?
That you tell me to. If you need me, me with you, I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh.
Where you lead.
Oh,
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 follow. Anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me, be with you.
We'll follow. Thank you, Benjamin.
Nobody listens to all of that.
Oh,
singing that.
That's not true. Please listen.
You guys sing to the whole singing the song every episode.
Oh yeah, no, we put little Easter eggs in there.
There's no way.
We talk about trivia over it.
We do. Bye.
I like that song.